This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chris Whittingham is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Whittingham, soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. So he is getting ready. We're watching him on our video monitors here. He is getting ready to do the halftime report on the CBS Golazo network for Burnley Norwich. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Is that a championship? Is that a good one? Is that a cracker?
Yeah, it actually is a good game. Yeah, Burnley are pushing for automatic promotion to the Premier League. So if they
really?
If they win today, yeah, if they win today, they'll be in
a
good position.
How do you get automatically promoted? You have to win a certain league?
Yeah, so to go to the Premier League, so it's like it's like a top-down pyramid.
Solana's already annoyed by my – why is that an annoying question, Solana?
Because every league in soccer outside of the United States has a relegation system. You know that, and it's just a ridiculous question.
No, I know, but I didn't know that there was an automatic promotion to the Premier League if you win something. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize
if you win the second division or finish second, you automatically go up.
All right. I didn't know that. I'm just trying to learn, Solana. I have a little patience with me.
Educational program.
Gets all huffy. Anyway, Whittingham will be on the call for DC United and FC Cincinnati for Apple TV tomorrow. And he's on the call for the Rome. Is that a derby or a derby?
That's a derby. That's a derby. The Rome derby. Roma against Lazio on Sunday from 2:45.
That's on Paramount Plus. And by the way, we mentioned this because we were talking about the Bean earlier. Inter Miami will visit Soldier Field in Chicago Sunday to play the Fire. That match will be on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV at 4:30. And Chicago expecting around 50,000 fans for the game. Have you seen the Bean in Chicago, Witty?
I have seen the Bean in Chicago, yes, multiple times.
And?
It's garbage.
I was able to find it.
I mean,
was it exciting to walk around the mirror?
Good joke. I think it's a fantastic piece of art. Crowder diminishes its relevance.
Yeah, I feel like walking around, it's a nice thing to have. I feel like maybe in sort of modern times, I go to Grand Central Station a lot, and you go to Grand Central Station and you walk inside and you go, this wouldn't exist if it were built in 2025. It would just be like a normal piece of architecture. It would be boring. There would be plain walls. But like train stations from the early 1900s were built with art and design in mind. Whereas now everything is kind of designed to sort of be as economical and as cheap as possible. And so
you think
like,
the cities just is economical?
What I'm saying is I think that accents on a city that have nothing to do with anything. Why is that there? Who knows? It adds style and flavor to cities that would otherwise be boring. So I'm appreciative of it. I enjoy it on a walk around Chicago.
I need him as my radio partner because
flavor
appreciate stuff like that, Crowder.
There is a museum right next to it. There is a performing arts center next to it. That's a flavor. What flavor is that? What is it?
It's art. It's art on display.
It's art.
It's art on display.
You can't give like a terminology to art, which is in its greatest form, nebulous.
Hold your hands out sideways.
That's a really good mirror.
It's very sophisticated.
Thank you very much.
Nebulous, a good word to use to
Chris
describe that.
Whittingham took me to the Inter Miami LAFC CONCACAF match Wednesday night at Chase Stadium. That was my first Inter Miami game. And I don't think I'm speaking in hyperbole. I think it may have been in the top 10 for live sporting events I have ever attended. And I've been to a World Series, NBA Finals, Wide Right.
Stanley Cup matches, presumably.
Stanley Cup
match.
Am I exaggerating there, Witty? Did I experience Wednesday night much differently than you did?
No. I mean, in terms of football matches that I've been to, it's right up there. I was lucky enough. I went to a big Premier League game, which actually ended up being like a title decider in a season between Man City and Liverpool. But honestly, like that level of atmosphere and kind of the intensity and kind of watching the greatest ever soccer player realize, oh, like we got to go. Like we got to win this game. Like he gave absolutely everything on that night and was on the ball and creating and scored two goals. And the drama of obviously LAFC get an away goal early. So you and I knew, but I'm not sure too many people in the stadium knew, they needed to go get three goals. And then that push, and they finally get there. And then LAFC late on could easily have won it, probably should have won it, given the opportunities they had to score. It was just one of those games that had every bit of drama in it. And the greatest player of all time playing like the greatest player of all time and like giving everything to the cause. So
I was going to ask you that because we're watching Messi in person Wednesday. And to me, it looked like I was talking to my nephews today at lunch. And I said, to me, it looked like a guy who was calculating in his head because he was so much greater than the other players on the pitch. Oh, OK, here's what's about to happen. And here's where I'm going to end up being. And so his knowledge is unsurpassed and it's unquestionable. Does his physical abilities still... Is he still the best player in MLS or is he too old for that title?
I think he's definitely the best player in MLS. The question for me is, where does he rank among current active players, period? Meaning, like, if you dropped him into a big European Champions League match, would he be out of place? And I think the answer is no. I think he could still play at that really high level. And you see, when he plays for Argentina won the Copa America last summer with him still a key player in the team. They're still towards the top. Actually, they are, I think, the FIFA number one team in the world still. They're top of South American World Cup qualifying. And Messi is still a big part of the team. So it is without doubt. The question is sort of how often he delivers that level, like that special top-end level. And because of the injuries he's had the last couple of years and just kind of managing over the course of years, 37, you just can't do that every night. But for me, the reason why Wednesday night was so special is because he went into the game and was like, this is one of the games. There is a Saturday night over the course of the summer against FC Dallas that won't be as important. This is a big one. I've got to bring it tonight. And he did. And he brought it from start to finish.
Equivalent to what we thought Jimmy Butler would do with Golden State when he came here and Steph was out, where he goes, fellas, get on my back. And Jimmy Butler fizzled out. Like Messi was able to do that Wednesday night.
Yeah, for the full 90 minutes. I mean, we saw him, Hawk, that last counterattack that they had where it was him one-on-one with a defender, and he is sprinting as quickly as he possibly can to get to a loose ball and fight with a defender. Like, he is still 100% going for it.
Slightly slower than me.
He got fouled. He got fouled on that play.
Yes, he did.
The referee didn't call the foul. He gave a throw-in to LAFC. It was a dumb call.
Which was the first time in 95 minutes that he didn't get a call.
And he got every call.
But Witty, with that thought, like, I don't know much about soccer, but I remember Kobe still dropping the 80. I remember, but then also Peyton Manning with the Broncos. Like, they were carrying him.
Right.
With Messi, like, he's carrying teams still? What has he lost since he's 37? What has he lost since he was 27? Like, what part of his game has he lost?
I was actually talking about this with Hawk because we were watching him walk around the pitch. and we're like, oh, what he loses is defensive intensity, I would say. It is very similar to LeBron now, where you can obviously see LeBron in games not giving 100% on every defensive possession and taking some nights off and kind of realize when he has to pick his spots because he's 39 and you just can't deliver that level of defensive intensity. So you will see him walk around for long periods, but then when he gets the ball, the switch flips and there is still that kind of quick burst of pace and ability to beat guys off the dribble. You mentioned, Hawk, that he, like from a top end speed standpoint, he's not as quick as he was, but in some ways you can still get the better of players by outthinking them and having a full 360 degree range of where you can go with the ball. Even though he's completely left footed, he can go right, he can go left, he can go forward, he can go back, and has every sort of decision already in his brain of, all right, if I'm getting pressure from here, I'm going to go here. I see that guy out of the corner of my eye. I'm going to turn and play that way. And he can still not lose the ball with physical disadvantage because he just has that in his brain. But really, the thing that you lose is, one, in Europe, when he was playing in the Champions League, they play 50 to 55 games a year over the course of those big European seasons, and you every single game would get messy. And that's just not a reality anymore. They will play something like 50 to 55 games a season, and he just can't deliver every single game. But he still has the ability on the ball. He probably just doesn't have as much defensively, but I think in some ways the team is designed around it. And Argentina, from national team level, is designed around that. You have a bunch of runners around a guy that will, you know, score the goals and create the goals.
Nah, he's being carried by the rest of the squad in Argentina, Woody. Come on, we both know that.
And you think he's being carried by Luis Suarez down here.
I'm just gonna, I digress. Woody, at what point, though, do people – on a grander scale out of the United States, guys that aren't like you following the MLS and truly know game by game how difficult it can be, even if the talent level's not the way it is in Europe. Man, Busquets, I know he didn't play today, but Alba, Suarez, these guys are coming over here. They're genuinely trying to win these big types of games. At what point do they actually start to get credit? Maybe the talent gap is big, but they're still putting in this effort. It's not the stigma that people think, which is they come to the U.S. to collect a paycheck, give their family a better life. Like, both things can be true. They're still trying to actually compete.
Yeah. And I think part of that is these guys being on the same team at the same time. That when you see four guys that held this level, it's not just me on my own. I think a lot of the big stars that come here and play in teams that are otherwise filled with guys you'd normally see in MLS, they kind of look around and go, well, I just don't feel like I'm being helped or like there is enough around me to get me over the line. But you got four guys that have all held that standard before, then it's kind of different. And so they have in turn become the leaders. But it is a question about the individuals themselves. There have been great players that have come here and not given everything, and it shows, and they kind of get embarrassed. They get embarrassed when they're not scoring goals. As a matter of fact, LAFC have a player in Olivier Giroud that has yet to score in MLS, and he was a World Cup winner with France, was playing and scoring goals for Milan recently, and he can't do it here in MLS. So it really is in some ways about the application of the players. And like you say, it is a real credit to them that they come here and they care and that they actually want to. And like, it's so funny because like we have a laugh about it because the CONCACAF Champions Cup and the U.S. Open Cup are kind of almost like not novelties, but almost like niche things that a very select few people care about. And when Lionel Messi gives a press conference where he goes, before I leave, I really want to win the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's like, why do you care? Why are you interested in winning this tournament that's kind of like a sort of novelty for us? So it is a real testament to them as professionals and them as competitors that they still give a bleep.
We're going to let Witty go because it's 3:45. He's got a halftime show to do. If I just kept talking and kept you here, would you disconnect with us or would you skip your halftime show on Golazo?
No, I'm not skipping the halftime show. As soon as I turn around, they're not yet in commercial. We haven't gotten to first half stoppage time yet.
Inter Miami, again, they're at Soldier Field in Chicago on Sunday, and the match will be live on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV at 4:30. And like you say, Chicago expecting 50,000 plus for the game. We experienced it Wednesday night in Fort Lauderdale. Is it just a party? And whenever you got to go, you got to go. Is it a party wherever he plays, whenever, anytime, anywhere he's playing?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules.
No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the interesting thing is that this is his third time to Chicago, but probably the first time that Messi will play. And they've gotten 61,000, 55,000 in the past, but he didn't play. And I think that is kind of the nervous bit about like some of these injuries and some of these nagging problems that he's had over the last few years, is that when it's sort of like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? And then when the lineups come out and he's in the team, then it becomes a party. But I think until then, it's kind of that nerviness of, is he, will he, won't he? And when he does, then it becomes great. And we'll see that as well in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Their next round, they're playing Vancouver. They play in the CFL stadium in Vancouver. I think it holds like 40,000 people. They've already opened up the upper deck for that first leg of the semifinal because they know they're going to fill it, and they know that Messi's going to draw that level of attention. So, yes, everywhere he goes is record sellout, record revenue for all those teams.
Wow. It was so much fun Wednesday night. I cannot thank you enough, Witty, for taking me and the scram at
that Chase. Scarf behind you. I see the scarf in the background. It looks great.
The time of my life. The time of my life. I wanted to buy Witty one of these big Inter Miami gold medallions. It was a giant rope with a medallion on it, and just
a remnant of the turnover chain era.
And not even it turned the turnover chain into like a little trinket. That's how big it was. I'm like, just wear this and don't even reference it. But he wouldn't let me buy it anymore. Popcorn, though, you're a popcorn aficionado. How was the popcorn trade?
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, they had like little mini bags. I had about six of them.
He's sports media's biggest popcorn aficionado. Did you know that, Crowder?
I did not know that. And I worked with Chris for years.
He gets popcorn at every sporting event. Anywhere he is, he gets the popcorn.
I have a rankings of every MLS stadium and the level of their popcorn. Columbus Crew, number one, they have a machine that they regularly refill and pop a new batch roughly every 30 minutes in their press box. It's unbelievable. Shout out Columbus Crew.
Huh. His vernacular got a little deeper since we worked together, though. He uses some big words.
Is it possible he was just dumbing it down, that he had that vernacular, but he was just dumbing it down for you?
I actually thought about that once he's been coming on with us. I'm like, was he not using this for me?
See you, Witty. Have a good halftime broadcast.
See you guys.
And a good broadcast tomorrow. Yes, Chris Whittingham, again, he's going to be on the call for DC United and FC Cincinnati on Apple TV tomorrow. And he's on the call for the Rome Derby Sunday on Paramount Plus.